I'm reminding myself of this today. No matter how much we prepare for the collapse that's accelerating around us, it's probably not enough. And look, I bring on a lot of different guests with different views. I try to have a broad spectrum of information and analysis. For example, I've had Bill Holter in studio talking about the total collapse of the Western financial system. And then I've had John Bush in studio recently, who believes more in, authoritarian gradualism. It's kind of the slow boiling frog syndrome, where we just silently slide into a slow collapse. There's an excellent article out there too by J.D. Rucker on his Substack page that talks about a more sudden collapse on multiple fronts. You know, not just the border invasion, not just the dollar collapsing as the world's reserve currency, you know, not just one or two things, but so many things combining: the collapse of the U.S. military, the collapse of manufacturing capacity, the cultural collapse, you know, the collapse of financial institutions, and so on. So I try to present for you a wide array of different analysis and different opinions on where things are headed. But if you want my opinion, I believe that it happens slow at first and then all at once. I think we're on an exponential collapse, which looks exactly like that. It looks gradual at first, and then it comes all of a sudden. So the idea of gradualism is accurate for a very long time until the exponential, you know, curve kicks in, and then it's all at once. Then it's a sudden total collapse. And when I look around society today, I do not see signs that America is backing away from insanity. I don't see signs of reason. I don't see signs of really anyone in Washington, D.C. making good decisions to stave off catastrophes. I don't see, you know, Janet Yellen doing anything worthwhile. I mean, she's a moron. Janet Yellen, are you kidding me? She has zero understanding of, you know, Austrian economics and the reality of cause and effect in financial circles. She is arguably the worst person to be at the head of the Treasury, and yet she's there. But there are many other examples like that where the most incompetent people appear to be in charge, and their decisions are horrible. We also have a mental health wave across the generation of youth, including college students, high school students. Some huge number of these people, it could be a third, it could be up to a half, they think they're mentally ill. And they use mental illness as an excuse for everything. It's the new victimhood, just to say, you know, my mental health won't allow me to come in and make that meeting or do that job or what have you. And we also see this in the American workforce. We see people just saying, well, I can't show up, I can't do that job, I can't really work those hours. Why? You know, mental health issues, stress, whatever, which, you know, at one level, I understand the world is stressful. But if mental illness is really that widespread, we are in deep, deep trouble. And perhaps it is that widespread. I mean, you see mass mental illness expressed through the transgenderism cult, just trying to push children into believing that they were born in the wrong gender body. That's mental illness run amok. And that kind of thing, it continues to spread. I mean, we are living in a society that is incapable of righting itself. It's like if America were a listing Titanic, you know, leaning to one side, taking on water, there's no one on the boat that is bailing the water out and patching the holes and trying to right the ship. If anything, the lunatics on the left are drilling more holes in the boat. Like, we can't have borders and walls on this boat. Let's open it up and see what happens. Yeah, you're going to take on water and sink. They're trying to sink it. And that's what I see every single day. So when I think about preparedness, and I say this to myself, not just sharing it with you here, when I think about preparedness, it's no matter how much I've prepared, and no doubt I've prepared more than most, it's still not enough. And when I say not enough, what do I mean by that? Well, it's not enough to allow us to restart on the other side of the collapse that's coming. It's not enough to get us through this without it, I should say, with a sense of confidence or sufficient confidence. I mean, don't get me wrong, I am somewhat confident of making it through this multi-year collapse that we are now facing, but I'm not 100% confident. I don't feel like I've done enough to guarantee that we can get through things. For example, I was planning on planting corn this spring. It didn't happen. Why? I'm too busy, you know, in the studio doing videos, writing articles, researching things that you'll hear about soon. I'm too busy, and I've made choices. I've decided to focus on, you know, educating the world as much as I can and doing interviews, and I didn't grow the corn. So that's on me. But that means I just missed one season's worth of experience in learning how to grow corn, and I won't be able to harvest the corn seeds and plant them next year and so on. There are lots of things that I should be doing. I tell myself, I mean, I know the word should is very judgmental, but there are things I should be doing that I'm not doing. And perhaps you share that. Perhaps there are things that you know might benefit you that you're not able to do. Or you've made decisions like I've made to prioritize other things. And so those preparedness things just aren't getting done. Well, guess what, folks? For all of us, there are going to be consequences for that. There are going to be. Because I'm honestly not sure how long we have left with this system, the current society that we know, with it functioning. I honestly don't know how long that lasts. And I know some people say, well, you know, we made it through the subprime mortgage collapse of 2008. Okay, right. Well, we made it through the dot-com collapse of 2000. Yeah, but in 2000, people weren't insane child-grooming, pedophile, child-mutilating lunatics. I mean, we have never been in this situation where you have half the culture that has gone insane or mentally ill. Lunatics at the helm. Elections completely rigged. The financial system cratering. Banks going under. And the other nations of the world abandoning the dollar. You know, the U.S. relationship with the Saudis has been very strong for decades. That's done. That's done thanks to Biden. It's over. I mean, yeah, we've survived various, you know, market events and like I said, the subprime mortgage collapse and so on. We've survived a lot of isolated, relatively small financial events. We have never faced a global de-dollarization. I mean, not in our lifetimes. Not since, I mean, we're talking about this system has persisted since the end of World War II. So people who say, well, we made it through this other collapse, yeah, because we could still print money at that time and we could sell that money globally because the Saudis were making sure that everybody had to buy oil in dollars, and thus there was this built-in demand for dollars that we could sell into. While we were printing money, these other nations were buying dollars. Well, that's coming to an end. You need to reconsider the effects of everything based on the fact that de-dollarization is here, that it's real. And those who are downplaying it, I think, are being extremely irresponsible, but I guess that's on them because they're going to be left holding worthless fiat currency. Worthless. I mean, what will they say then when their bank account is, I mean, I guess the dollars will still be there. They'll just be worthless. It's kind of like asking the question, well, what will people say when they die from taking vaccines? And the answer is they won't say anything because they're dead. And even when they died, they still didn't realize it. So, and I have to remind myself this too, don't think that people around you are ever going to get it. Many people will never know what's going on. And as a result, they will never prepare. They will never have backup supplies of food or ammunition. They won't study self-defense. They won't practice firearm skills. You know, they won't have backup communications. And they'll think you're crazy if you do. There's a lot of people who will never learn to grow any food at all. They won't learn even to sprout, which is so stupidly simple that, you know, a child can do it quite well, in fact. It's the easiest thing in the world. Some people will never learn how to do that. And the practical upshot of all that means that as we accelerate into this collapse, this exponential collapse. And there's plenty of evidence all around you to see it. I shouldn't have to even point it out at this point. But as we accelerate into this collapse, you and I and people like us who have some level of preparedness, we're going to find ourselves, you know, among a large number, the oblivious masses who are just flat out unprepared mentally, psychologically, financially, you know, in a security sense. They're completely unprepared for what's coming. They have no idea. And given the mental illness that continues to accelerate across our country, you can already tell that a lot of these people, when it hits the fan, when the day of reckoning arrives and they realize that all their beliefs have been shattered and everything they assumed has fallen apart, they're not going to rise to the occasion and adapt and overcome. No, they're going to huddle in a corner and cry like little babies and beg for bailouts or something. They're not going to be useful, not even to themselves, much less community. These people are going to be freaking PTSD victims in the very first day. And they're just going to sob and cry and have, you know, fits of mental illness, explosive emotional outbursts, you know, like they did when Trump won the first time. That's what you're going to see. And then you add to that the fact that, well, the prescription medications won't be available anywhere because the supply chain will not function. And so you have not just the, you know, the pain med addicts, and that's a substantial number, not just those people, but how many tens of millions of Americans take antidepressants every day? It's a huge number. I don't know what the number is exactly, but let's say it's over 50 million people. That's probably a low number. It's probably more like 100 million people. It's a huge number of people who are, they're on brain-altering chemicals every single day. And to them, that's the only way they can make it through the day. Without those meds, what will they do? Well, they will join the sobbing, you know, huddled PTSD victims in the corner. They will freak out. I mean, some will lash out. There'll be some violence and so on. But, you know, psychologically, these people, they've been hooked on chemicals this entire time. You know, big pharma addicts, one way or another. And I'm not even talking about heroin. I'm just talking about psychiatric drugs that these people live on. And there's a bunch of other people that, you know, depend on diabetes drugs while they keep chowing down ice cream all the time. Or they depend on heart medications, even though they've taken zero steps to improve their heart health through, you know, diet or nutrition. What are those people going to do? There are no options for them. It's going to be a real crisis. And so I think we're very close to that tipping point of the exponential curve. It's kind of like a corner or a shoulder of the curve where then it just starts to skyrocket, because that's how exponentiality works mathematically. I think we're really close, or maybe we've already entered that curve. And from here, I think things get crazier at an even faster pace. And, you know, you look at the crazy violence, you look at people losing it on airplanes and subways, you look at the mass mental health, the mass homelessness, you look at even the juries now. Have you seen some of these juries that are, quote, convicting conservatives of crimes like seditious conspiracy? These juries are nut job. Lunatics. I mean, they belong in insane asylums. They are mentally unwell because they've been, you know, psychologically traumatized by the fake news media this entire time as well. But these people are not stable, and they represent probably the majority of those who live in blue cities. I would say, yes, the majority of people living in blue cities are going to lose their freaking minds when things don't pan out as they've imagined in their own twisted little heads. It's going to be a shock for them. It's going to be a psychic fracturing. And so finally, you might ask, well, what's the upshot here? I mean, what's the action item, Mike? Because, you know, I've committed to offering solutions as best I can, no matter what the situation. And frankly, I think the solution to this one is simple. get as far away from other people as you can. Seriously. Many of you are already living in the country, which I think is very smart. And frankly, if I had to choose again where I am, I would maybe choose a place even farther away. Maybe, I don't know, West Texas or somewhere way off the grid, a couple hours away from any major city, even, you know, by car. But I can't do that. You probably can't do that either. It's too late to move. It's hard to buy property. But if you have a choice or maybe a bug out location, a bug out plan, make sure you have an option to get as far away from people as possible, because the mental illness is going to, it's going to be historic. It's going to be biblical. The zombie apocalypse isn't science fiction. It's going to be an oblivious mob of mentally ill, unprepared, delusional lunatics who don't know what to do. And they freak out and panic. And yeah, that's what's coming. In my assessment, I think we're right at the tipping point of that. So get prepared. Thanks for listening. At least consider what I've said here. And keep watching, because things are moving very quickly. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, naturalnews.com, and also, of course, brighteon.com. Take care.